I want you to imagine something with me before we get started. You can go to the book of Ecclesiastes. That's where we're at this morning. Go and find your place there. But I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Tomorrow, you go through your normal day. So whatever you do tomorrow, maybe it's your day off, maybe you go to work, maybe stay home. Whatever you do, take yourself in that place tomorrow. Now, at some point, you check in with your bank. I don't know how you do that. I use an app to check in with my bank, make sure we've got money in the bank. I don't know how you do it. If you go to the bank, if you check your statement, at some point tomorrow, you check your bank statement. And when you check it, your heart almost stops. All of a sudden, you start sweating bullets, and then your heart starts speeding up. You start getting really, really excited, but then you get panicked at the same time. And what you see in your bank account is $10 billion. Just imagine that. Tomorrow, you see $10 billion. You're used to like $35. $10 billion today. So you really don't know what to do. You call your spouse. If you're not married, you call your parents. You're kind of freaking out a little bit. So you call somebody. And as you start talking through it, you realize, well, of course it's a mistake. I don't make that much money, so we're going to have to call the bank. So you call the bank. They log into your account. They, too, are a little bit disturbed and panicked. So they say, we're going to call you right back. Hang up the phone. You're like, well, that was a great dream for a little bit. Phone rings. 5 minutes later, you pick up. The bank says, I don't really know what's going on, but somebody made an anonymous donation into your account last night, and all of that money is yours. Enjoy. And they hang the phone up. How would that change your life? I mean, just think about that for a minute. How would that change your life? What would you do? What could you pay off? What have you been putting off that now you can do? What have you not even dreamed about yet, but now you're dreaming it up? Where can you travel? Where can you go? All those pins on your Pinterest, man, you could buy them all. Like, you can do everything. That basketball, you can get it. It's unlimited what you can do now. How many of you, by show of hands, would say, if that happened to you, you'd be a little bit more happy? How many of you guys think? Like, I would be a little bit more satisfied tomorrow if that happened to me. I think my marriage would be fixed. We argue a lot about money. I think everything would be, our retirement's done. Like, everything is great. $10 billion. This is awesome. Well, you know, Jesus asked a similar question in the Gospels. And here's what Jesus says in the Gospels. We'll go ahead and flip today. He said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? He kind of poses that question. Hey, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world? For me, $10 billion would be like gaining the whole world. What profit would that really have? He wants to kind of think about it. Man, what if we gained the whole world? What if we got everything we ever wanted? What we're going to see is in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is going to raise a very similar question. Here's what Solomon is going to ask. He's going to ask this. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? What does man gain? What is profitable? What is left over? The thought is, what really satisfies? To have profit, to have gain, it's something that's left over, it's something that satisfies, something that makes you actually happy. With all the work that we do, what really does it gain us in the end? That's kind of what the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he's asking that question, and then he's going to seek to answer it. And his answer is not very good. Here's what he says is the answer. Here's kind of all of it summed up. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. When asking the question, what if you gained the whole world? Would it truly satisfy you? Here's Solomon's answer. Absolutely not. He says, if you gained the whole world, it would all be vanity. That word vanity means just emptiness, nothingness. One writer said that word, it's like when you pop a soap bubble, what's left over? Just that kind of film. That's what all of life, if you grabbed it by the horns and you pursued everything and you got everything, at the end of it, it would be completely empty if you had everything you ever dreamed of, apart from having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what this book is about. Now, we've got a ask this question. What exactly is going on in Ecclesiastes? How many of you guys did the daily readings this week? You're reading those things, you're going through the chapters, and you got to some stuff and you're like, man, I don't really understand this book. Like, I don't know if I can, like, put this verse on my wall because it sounds good, but then again, it sounds kind of heretical. It sounds like it might be unorthodox. Like, is it really true that we are no different than animals, that we all just die and then that's the end? That's what Solomon says. Is it really true that we're just to eat and drink and be merry, for that's all life is about? Is that really true? Just go and get pleasure and just don't think about it? Is it really true that the good die young, therefore don't be overly good, but be kind of wicked so you'll live longer? I mean, these are some of the things that Solomon tells us to do, instructs us to do from the book of Ecclesiastes. So we got to ask, okay, what in the world is going on in the book of Ecclesiastes? What is Solomon doing? Well, I want to tell you my perspective on Ecclesiastes. Here's what I think he's doing. As you guys know, Solomon had a period in his life where he ran away from God. He chased after women. They led him into all kinds of false gods. He married for political reasons. He went after gain. He went after money. He chased life apart from God. So what he's doing now is he's writing Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes means a gathering, an assembly. So what I think he's doing, he's assembling all the people together. He's an older man now, and he's the preacher now, and he is going to preach his life story of his pursuit of pleasure apart from a relationship with God. So this is his story. This is what happened to him. He tried pleasure. He tried satisfaction in everything, but he didn't find it. And there's one key phrase that I think unlocks the entire book for us. And it's this: life under the sun. If you read it this week, this kept popping up. Over 30 times, this is repeated. Life under the sun. Solomon is dealing with life under the sun. So what does that mean when he says life under the sun? Here's what I think he's meaning. He's talking about his time and his pursuit of satisfaction, taking God out of the equation. So I think we're going to go down all of these avenues to try to be happy, to try to be satisfied, but it's all going to be life apart from God. It's going to be disconnected from life under the sun. We're going to take God out of the equation, and we're going to pursue life under the sun. And here's what he says in his mission. Go back one. Mission for meaning. I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under the sun. It is an unhappy business that God has given the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. So this is his mission. He's seeking his heart. He's putting it, he's applying it to see what's done under the sun. In other words, let's go from the sun down. Let's just look at the earth and let's see what's going on the earth. Is there true satisfaction? What about all the busyness that I see? Is there any gain to it? And what he's going to say is absolutely no. Some of you are thinking, yeah, but there's a lot of things we could hold on to. There's a lot of things we could go after that would give us a lot of pleasure and satisfaction. Solomon is going to take us down every one of those roads. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And the first big thing he says about life, just life in general, as we look at the screen, it says this, man, we're hamsters stuck in a wheel. That's kind of chapter one. He says, man, all things are full of weariness. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. He gives the example of the sun. Goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. He gives the example of the wind. It just goes round and round and round. He gives the example of the streams. They just flow into the sea, go up, rain, go to the sea, go up, rain, go to the sea. Everything just seems to be in this big circle, and nothing ever seems to get anywhere. And he says, with us, we see, but we're not satisfied. We hear, but we're not filled with hearing. In other words, we always want more. We pursue and we do and we go. And what happens is it's like we're hamsters stuck in a wheel. Man, we're running and running and running and running, but we seem to not get anywhere. I mean, we've got a term for this in America. We call it the rat race, right? We're like in a maze and the scientists put us in there and we're just running around trying to go somewhere. But the problem is there's no escape out of the maze. It's closed in. So we just run and run and run and run, but we don't ever get anywhere. That's the problem that he sees with the earth. I mean, there's a lot of busyness. There's a lot that's going on, but we don't seem to actually accomplish much. So that's one of his big problems with life. We're hamsters in a wheel. It seems like we don't ever get anywhere if you just look at life under the sun. So we're going to look at some of those things that you pursue, some of those things that I pursue to try to find happiness. And we're going to see, does Solomon truly find happiness in those things? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at pleasure. And here's what we're going to learn about pleasure. Pleasure is tasted but never satisfied under the sun. If you take God out of the equation and you just pursue pleasure for pleasure's sake, you will find it does not satisfy. You taste it, but it doesn't complete you. It doesn't satisfy you. It doesn't give you what you think it should give you. And we're going to look at these things that Solomon pursues. And I'm actually going to read this pursuit that Solomon takes us on. It's in chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So you can just follow along with me. We're going to read and then we'll make comments as we go. Here's what Solomon said. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with all my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold of folly that I might see what is good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of his life. So the first thing Solomon pursued was a substance. He's taken a substance and he takes wine. And he said, okay, I think in wine I could be happy. Maybe saw the commercials that I see all the time. It's like everybody's bored and then somebody shows up with like a beer truck and then it's just happiness, right? So happiness comes in a container. Solomon might have saw that commercial, like, hey, that looks like happiness. So he started out with kind of social drinking. He's just like, man, my heart's still guiding me. Everything's good. I'm just kind of being a little happier. Well, he saw that, well, that doesn't really give me the happiness I want. So then he decides, man, let's just go get drunk. Man, now he's just going for it. He's being a fool. He's been folly in his heart. He's just going for it. He's getting drunk. So, man, this is where happiness is found. And for some of you, this is one of the avenues that you look for true happiness. Man, without some sort of a substance, you're never happy. I mean, you can go somewhere, but it's always you gotta have something. And we live in a culture that's like that. Maybe we're trying to legalize marijuana. Why? Because marijuana makes us happy, and that's what we want. We just want to be happy. So however we can get it, whether it's a drink or a drug or a pill, whatever it is, it's a substance that's gonna lead us to happiness and satisfaction. Solomon does that. He does it to the fullest. And I can just imagine he had the absolute best wine at his disposal. And then he goes on, not just from substances to accomplishments. Listen to what he says. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forests of the growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born into my house. Man, Solomon accomplished a ton. Now, one of the ways that we pursue satisfaction and pleasure is by accomplishing things. It gives us some pleasure, right? We love building things. We love accomplishing things. Well, listen to what Solomon built. He built all kinds of stuff. He built houses. He built the temple. He built pools and parks. And he built forests. He built streams to water the forest. I mean, he is like building more than we could ever imagine. He is accomplishing everything. Now, you and I know that the more we accomplish, the more we do, the more we build, the more upkeep those things require, right? Like if you have a second house, then you got to mow the second house, you got to trim the second. Like there's just all kinds of upkeep. Well, Solomon had the ability not just to do that, but he had the ability to have slaves come and take care of all his accomplishments. So he could just sit back and enjoy the third house. He could just go on vacation and everything would be done. Man, this, if we would say, okay, if I was in this place, I would be happy. I would be satisfied. If I had everything I could ever dream about building, and then I had people to take care of all my buildings and all my stuff, man, that would be happiness. I would be satisfied. Then he looks at possessions. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who were before me in Jerusalem. Not only did he accomplish much, but his accomplishment brought him much possessions. He had a bunch of stuff. He had herds after herds. People would look at Solomon and say, man, you are the biggest farmer in the land. You have more stuff than any of us. See, for some of us, we think if we could just get all the things on our wish list, then we would be happy. If we could get that new truck. And look at the new truck, if we get the newer one. If we could just get a bigger house. If we could just get this certain there's an item on our wish list that if we had, it would make us happy. But we forget that we said the same thing 3 years ago, and we got that thing, and now we're in the same predicament we're in. We want something else to make us happy because that possession didn't truly satisfy the deep longings of our heart. Solomon, he goes on, not just to possessions, but man, he had money. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of the kings and providences. And he had all the money he could possibly want. He had $10 billion in his bank account. He had it all, everything. But not only that, not only money, but he had entertainment. Now for some of us, that's what makes us happy. Our entertainment, our TV shows, our concerts, our things we watch, our sports team. It's the entertainment that truly makes us happy. Well, listen to what Solomon says. He says, I got singers, both men and women. Man, he was able to bring the concert into his own palace. The celebrities were at his beck and call. The celebrities were coming to his party, not him going to theirs. The singers were coming to him. The concerts were being sang for him. He had all the entertainment he could possibly ever want. And not only that, when you think about all these things, one of the key things that our culture says, if you get it, you'll be happy. That is sex. Listen to what he says in the end. And many concubines. I mean, just listen to what all Solomon had. He had substances, he had accomplishments, possessions, money, entertainment, and sex. And he had those as much as he wanted, as freely as he wanted, and he had them more than anybody else had them. He had it all. When it comes to sort of our American culture of what could truly make us happy, he had everything. And I want you to listen to what he says. Then I considered all that my hand had done and the toil I'd expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. He says in that verse, in that chapter, that there was not a single pleasure that he kept his heart from. Whatever his heart wanted, he would go after. Whatever he desired, he went for it. He captured all the pleasures this life could offer. Now, you got to remember who Solomon is. He's the king, which means he had power, resources, and time. So he could actually pursue all these things. If you and I say, man, if we could just have more money, but we don't have much money, so it's just kind of a dream. He had all the money. He could truly pursue that avenue. He could pursue all these things to the fullest. But at the end, what he found is that pleasure, it's tasted, but never satisfied. All those things that we mentioned, they can give pleasure, but it's not satisfying pleasure. It's limited pleasure for a limited time, and you always need more of that pleasure. So what's the answer? I mean, Solomon looked at all this and said, man, it's just vanity. All this is worthless. All the pleasure that I had, it didn't bring me satisfaction. So what is the answer? Well, the answer is not in looking under the sun, not in taking God out of the equation, but putting God in the equation. So what we're going to do for just a moment is we're going to go out of Ecclesiastes, we're going to fly to Philippians, and we're going to look at life above the sun. And here's what David is going to tell us about pleasure. His dad, just a few years earlier, here's what David is going to tell us about pleasure. That above the sun, pleasure is tasted and satisfied. Both of those things. Pleasure is tasted and satisfied. Here's what it says in the Psalms. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. See, what he's saying is, if you take God of the equation and you pursue happiness and pleasure to be satisfied apart from God, you're not going to find it. It doesn't matter what you get. If you woke up with $10 billion in your bank account tomorrow, you would think it's going to make you happy. But in the end, it wouldn't make you truly satisfied if you're not connected to the one who created you. And we can see that. I mean, just look at the people who have $10 billion. Does it keep them out of rehab? Does it make them happy? No, often it makes them more miserable. So see, all the worldly things that we can pursue for pleasure, they can't make us truly happy. It's only connected to God that we can be truly happy forevermore. Because only in Him there are pleasures that truly satisfy. Not just for a moment, not just for a day or two, but forevermore. So Solomon went down the road, he went to the dead end, and he realized there's no pleasure in this world apart from a relationship with the living God. The next thing we're going to pursue is wisdom. But what about wisdom? What if you knew everything? What if you're like the smartest person in the world? What if you went to wisdom? Well, the problem with wisdom is that under the sun, knowledge only produces sorrow. Under the sun, knowledge only produces sorrow. That's what wisdom does for us under the sun. Here's what he says. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. This is life under the sun. Wisdom, you would think, would lead you to happiness. And for Solomon, he was the wisest person in the world. So wisdom, he said, if I can just know everything about the world, then I'll be happy, then I'll be satisfied. The problem is the more Solomon knew about the world, apart from God, the more sorrow he had. And I think we can all relate to this. I've got 3 young boys, 5, 3, and 1, and there are many days I envy them. See, I'll go about my day and I'll hear stories of tragedy, people that have suffered. I'll read the newspaper and read the headlines of just disturbing things here and abroad. I know of things like human trafficking. I know of things that are utterly disturbing. I've seen things that people have done that are just disturbing. See, the more I know about the world, it doesn't lead to increased happiness. The more I know about the world, the more I see how broken it is. But my kids, they don't see half the things. They don't know half the things I know. So it's sort of ignorance is bliss. They don't know I'm broken the world. So they're happy and they're excited. But I know that as they grow, the more they see the world, the more sorrow and vexation it will lead to them. See, Solomon, he's like, if I just know everything, then I'll be happy. But the more he figured out life apart from God, the more he sought out life apart from God, the more wisdom he had apart from God, he realized the world is broken and I don't know the problem and I don't know how to fix it. And it just led him to sorrow. Men, we're a culture that pursues knowledge and wisdom. I mean, we want all of our kids to go to college and that's a good thing. But our thought is if we just know everything, it'll make us happy. But the problem is the more we know, the more we realize there's a big problem. Something's broken and we can't fix it. So what's the answer? How in the world does knowledge not lead to sorrow? Well, you can't look at life under the sun. You can't take God out of the equation. You have to put him in the equation. And then what you're going to find is wisdom and knowledge actually finds satisfaction. It finds satisfaction in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul says. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, Paul's knowing wasn't let's figure out the world. It was I want to know Christ, and through Christ, I want to see the world. And in Christ, in knowing Christ, there was surpassing joy. There was surpassing worth. Everything was worth it to him when he knew Christ. See, through knowing Christ, you can understand the world. Yes, something had happened. It's called the fall. But there's good news. A rescue has came. His name is Jesus. And there is a restoration coming. That's the new kingdom. So when you see brokenness, you can see hope through the brokenness. So knowledge doesn't lead you to despair. It leads you to redemption. It leads you to kingdom work because you know a kingdom is coming that's going to last forever. And that's where your joy is found. See, if you try to understand the world apart from Christ, you will only be led to sorrow and vexation. But if you let knowledge lead you to a relationship with Jesus, then you will find true pleasure. What about just living right? Well, what about just doing good? What about just right living? That's the next thing Solomon is going to pursue. And here's what Solomon is going to conclude, that under the sun, all funerals are the same. Under the sun, all funerals are the same. It doesn't matter if you're wise or a fool. You're going to die. They're going to put you in a casket. And under the sun, that's it. That's game over. Power button's done. There's no life after that. Remember, we're talking about life apart from God. There's no God. There's no afterlife. Let's just deal with life under the sun. Let's just deal with the here and now. And here's this big hang up. How the wise dies just like the fool. Here's Solomon's big hang up. Both die. It doesn't matter if you're a wise guy who always listens to your parents, who stays in school, who goes to college, who gets a good job, who gets married, stays married, is a good husband and a good father. And we would say that's a good life. You're going to have a happier life than the fool who never obeys his parents, drops out of school, disobeys the law, goes to jail. That's going to be a worse life. So we can say the wise person is better off in life than the fool. But the problem is both of those people end up in a casket. And at that point, it really doesn't matter what they did before that. If this life is all there is. If you just get 100 years and then it's over, it doesn't really matter if you lived a great life or a bad life. You go to a casket and that's it. That's Solomon's big hang up. Yeah, you should be wise, but at the end, who really cares? Because we all die and that's it. See, this is his frustration with pursuing life under the sun. Take God of the equation, nothing matters. Life is vanity. Life is futile. It doesn't matter what you do. You go to a funeral and everyone's going to say nice things about you. Doesn't matter what you did, they're going to say nice things about you. And then you're going to be forgotten. That's what he says actually in the book. You say nice things and then it's over. It's done. So what's the hope there? Well, the hope is not living right under the sun. It's living like connected above the sun. Because above the sun, what we find is not all funerals are the same. And above the sun, not all funerals are the same. Because here's what it says in 1 Peter. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. In other words, when you put God back in the equation, what you find is your casket is not the end of the story, but your casket is a new beginning to a new chapter that is going to last forever. And this life really does matter for eternity. Whether you are in Christ or not in Christ truly matters at that casket moment. Because not all funerals are the same. Some funerals lead into eternal bliss. Some into eternal misery. Therefore, the life before is not vain. The life before is not nonsensical. The life before matters for eternity. And it matters. It really does matter. The last thing we're going to look at is work. What about work? What about our work? Well, here's the problem with our work. Under the sun, we're building a kingdom that will not last. Under the sun, man, we're just building this kingdom, but the problem is it's not going to last. Here's what Solomon said after all the work he did. I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I might leave it to a man who will come after me. Who knows whether he'll be wise or a fool? Here's Solomon's big hang up when it comes to work. I'm working myself to the bone. I'm building. I'm doing. I'm accomplishing. And now I think he's an old man. And he's realizing, I'm about to leave all this to my sons. And if you've read Kings, his sons aren't too bright. And they wreck his entire kingdom. And I think he saw it coming. And now we don't even have any remnants of the great temple that he built. We don't have any remnants of these houses, these pools, these forts. None of it. It's all gone now. Solomon spent his whole life building a kingdom that did not last. And at the end of his life, he hated that fact. See, you, here's one of the facts that you need to know. If you're building your own kingdom, it will die with you. No matter how great your company is, in 500 years, no one will know the name of that company. The house that you spend so much time investing in 500 years, it will probably be a parking lot. And no one will even know you ever lived there. See, that's the reality of pouring all our stuff into our own lives, into our own kingdoms. And that's what Solomon, he just couldn't get over. The fact that at the end of his life, he's going to die and all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. That just, it worried him to death. So what is the answer? How are we even supposed to go to work tomorrow if this is true? We're just going to leave it to somebody else. Well, the answer is to not work under the sun, but instead to work above the sun. Because what we see is that when we work above the sun, we build a kingdom that lasts forever. We build a kingdom that lasts forever. We do things that truly matter, not just for now, but for eternity. And Solomon, he kind of gives us some of this wisdom even in the text. He says this, there's nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his tool. He recognizes, we should enjoy our work. We should enjoy that. But the problem is, he's going to say, as a sinner, we can't. He says, this also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat and have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases God, God has given him wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the busyness of gathering and collecting only to give to one who pleases God. This is vanity and striving after the wind. See, Solomon said, we should enjoy our work. We should enjoy our food. We should enjoy all those small things in life. The problem is, when we're disconnected from God, we don't. Because what happens is we turn God's gifts into gods. And we pursue work as a god. And we're worried about work all the time and what we're going to do and what we're going to build. And it becomes our god that we worship. And so it becomes this gathering and collecting. When we're disconnected from God, man, even our food can become a god, a thing we think about all of the time. Instead of just enjoying as a good gift from God. So, I mean, here's this work problem. Under the sun, we build a kingdom that will not last. But above the sun, we're building a kingdom that will last forever. If we're connected to God, the one who pleases God, then we find enjoyment in all those things. So how is it that we find enjoyment in our work if we're connected to God? Well, here's the reason why. Now, before I share the reason, I want to share the big problem in the book. Here's the biggest problem, I think, in the book for Solomon. Here it is. The great problem under the sun is this. We all die and there's no resurrection. It's the biggest problem during Solomon's life of pursuing everything without God. We all die and there is no resurrection. So therefore, what is the solution? What is the answer? The solution is then the gospel. Because what is the gospel? What Paul tells us in Corinthians is Christ has died for our sins. He was buried and he rose 3 days later from the grave. In other words, Jesus defeated sin and death. There is a resurrection. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Death is not the end. It is entry into eternity because there is a resurrection from the dead. And notice what Paul says at the end of the chapter in this verse. Click to the next verse. Here's what he says. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The whole point of Ecclesiastes, your labor is in vain. Your life is in vain. No matter what you do, it's all in vain because you die and that's the end of the story. But Paul says, hold up. I've got news. There's a man who rose from the dead. His name is Jesus. And he defeated death for you. And in him, you will rise from the grave as well. Therefore, your life is not in vain. Your work is not in vain. The small things in life aren't in vain. Why? Because this life is not all. This life is pointing to an eternity that is coming. That you will rise from the dead. Therefore, whatever you do for the glory of God, it's not in vain, but it's pointing towards eternity. And it's going to last throughout eternity. That's why Paul would say, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do all for the glory of God because your life is not in vain. Your life is leading towards eternity. So Solomon's conclusion is this. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And Solomon pursued all of life, and at the end, everything was about a relationship with the Lord. I've asked Matt to come up, and we're going to end with a few songs of response. And as he comes up, I just want you to think about what Solomon has just said. When you think about all of life, when you think about everything that's done, everything that's happened in your life, the whole duty, if you add it all up, here's what life is about. It's about fearing God and keeping his commandments. It's about worshiping the Lord. But we can make life about so many other things. We can make life about pleasure. We can make life about work. We can make life about all these other things. But the truth is, life is about the Lord, pursuing him and loving him. So what I want to give you is an opportunity to respond. Maybe some of you find yourself like Solomon. You're pursuing happiness in things rather than in the giver of those things. You're trying to find happiness in life under the sun, but you're not living above the sun. So if that's you, or if you just want to come and just rejoice at the altar in prayer, whatever you need, during this song, you can come up, you can pray, you can just worship Jesus who rose from the dead, which means your life is not in vain. Your life really does matter. It matters for eternity. So we're going to sing two songs. You can come to the altar, you can pray, you can stay in your seat and worship. But I pray however the Lord has affected you during this time, you would respond to Him as an act of worship. Father God, help us to respond to You. I pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.